To start, if I could just have you introduce yourselves and give yourself a title. So, Drew, if you want to go first.
Hi, I'm Drew DeFonso Marks. A title? What do you mean, a title of myself? Like what I do? Great. Hi, I'm Drew DeFonso Marks, a comedian, improviser, writer in Los Angeles, based out of the Upright Citizens Brigade.
And I'm James Mastriani, also comedian, writer, improviser, actor, entrepreneur, and friend.
And together we are the sketch group James and Drew.
Yeah, that's
really,
right.
A really brilliantly titled group.
Is that truly a thing or is that just a thing?
That's a thing.
That is a thing.
Yeah.
But I also, your question was very confusing. Is that
Are you really a sketch group, or are you just like, do you do sketches other than together? Or is that just something you came up with right now?
We've write together a lot and do a show, and we call it James and Drew.
Yeah.
Like, we did a two-man sketch show called James and Drew. We've done a couple Comedy Central videos under the guise of James and Drew.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it should be Drew and James, but James...
I feel like James and Drew just rolls off the tongue a little more.
No, it does. I'm kidding.
Yeah. It does. I don't know if that's just because that's what I heard first. Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. So how did you become James and Drew?
Well, Drew and I had been friends through UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade, for a long time. And I think that what initially happened was Drew went to Amsterdam for Boom Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been, while he was gone, I had been like wanting to do more writing and stuff. And he came back to visit. And we had breakfast.
Brunch.
It was brunch. Where?
Makes
real
a big
fast.
Makes if, a I big
could
difference.
Just, if I could just say this anecdote really fast. We had brunch. And at brunch, while we were eating there, we were at Square One mm-hmm. on Fountain. And there was a car accident right in front of the restaurant. A car rammed right into the back of another car. And it was so jarring and loud that a lady fell out of her chair.
Yeah.
Which was very funny.
Yeah.
It was just like we were at brunch and I was like, you know what? I don't think Drew and I have ever like really collaborated other than improv, never written together.
I think a big part of that, because we talk about that meal a lot, where we both were comedians of like mainly living in the improv world, and there's so many different worlds. There's the improv world, the sketch world, the stand-up world, the whatever. There's different phases and circles, and we were so both completely 100% the improv world, and like all we did was like improv shows and teaching improv. And then we both realized like, oh, we wanted to do more. Like we wanted to broaden our horizons and be like, yeah, I want to be a writer. I want to make sure that I have multiple tools. As James said, I was living in Amsterdam doing Boom Chicago, which is a short form sketch and improv theater out there. And one of the things out there for me was that I was being forced to write so much every day. And a lot of the sketches out there, because it's a totally different field and culture and style of comedy, but like I was writing 10 sketches a day because I had to. And I was like, oh, I'm getting better at writing and I'm no one out. I can feel okay writing a sketch. Like, yeah, this is a bad sketch I wrote. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Rather than being like precious about it or like being paralyzed by like, ooh, it's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
So then we started writing stuff while I was still in Amsterdam. We kind of wrote half a show via emails without even like meeting up or Skyping or anything.
We would contribute different sketches. That's still sort of a part of our process together as a team is like, you know, we'll come up with the premise. One of us will take the premise, you know, we'll sort of like improvise it, brainstorm it. One of us will take the premise, go home and write it, send it to the other one. The other one will edit it, send it back. We'll edit it and sort of like that sort of seems to be the process that works for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work when I'm a lazy dick and he sends me something. And instead of me editing it or adding on, I'll just write back, no, it doesn't work. Like, no, that's not funny. And without adding anything, it's like, that's when it doesn't work when I'm a dick.
Yeah. Other than the initial excitement of like, let's do a sketch team, let's form a sketch group, let's put on a sketch show. What's the process like? I mean, I have to imagine it's fairly like, maybe like the first time you have sex with someone or the first time you go on a date with someone, there's got to be some vulnerability in saying, let's collaborate together on something for the first time.
Yeah.
I think the first time James and I had sex was pretty comfortable.
Yeah. No, I felt very comfortable. I'd even use the word sensual or romantic?
I'd use the word routine.
I think there's always like some sort of vulnerability that comes to collaborating, because you're putting your ideas out there and saying to somebody like, hey, I have this idea, I hope you accept it, or I hope like it's not, you don't think it's fucking stupid, or, you know, and sometimes it is, and sometimes it's really stupid. And you have to learn how to like say that in the kindest way possible.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And then there'll be times where it's like, one of us will be like, this is stupid, and we'll throw it out there. And the other person will be like, no, that's great. Like, yeah. that actually is like really funny. And the initial one will say, like, oh, I thought it was bad.
Yeah. I feel like that happens with us all the time.
Yeah. We're like, this is a dumb move, but what if this? And they'll be like, no, that's a great move. You're like, no, it's a stupid move. And the other one has to convince the originator that it was a good idea.
One of us sheepishly comes to the other one with like, I have this idea that I think is dumb.
We're very low self-esteem sketch writers.
At the time we were doing, we also did a web series called Two Bed, One Bath.
That's probably, actually, we did that before our show.
We did do that before our show.
That was the first thing we collaborated
on. Yeah, it definitely was. And that would have been in, God, when was that? 2012?
Yeah, around 2012.
Yeah.
It was a 7-episode web series that we created and produced with us, Tony Sherlin, and Lauren Lapkus.
Yeah.
That was the first thing that we like worked on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still like it. Like, there's been other things that I've done in the past, like another web series that I did on my own, where like I go back and I watch it and I'm like, oh God, it's fucking cringy. But I feel like Two Bed, One Bath was the thing that made Drew and I go like, oh, you know what?
We can
work together. There's some, synchronicity here.
And enough to keep you continuing it for 4 more years.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to both of you is you wrote a sketch that will be on the season 2 of the UCB show.
Yes, which is on CISO.
Which is on CISO.
Yeah, we wrote a sketch that will be on season 2 of the UCB show on CISO.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
So I don't know how much you can or want to give away about the sketch, but I'd love to know sort of how that happened. How, like, was this a sketch, for example, that you had done before that's sort of like a best of? Did you write it specifically for this? Were you approached for this? Was there like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
So the sketch we did in the season 2 of UCB show.
On CISO.
On CISO.
Don't you know?
Oh, God. Was a sketch that we wrote for our 2-man live show. Like, it was unrelated to CISO. And then we did the live show, and that live show went really well, and it got us a lot of like other work, and that's what got us to other things and the Comedy Central videos and blah, 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 blah. And then I just think we were at an all theater UCB meeting, and Besser was like, hey, if you have anything that you think would fit for the show, send me a video of it. We're just picking the 44 best acts from anything at the theater that's written, none of the improv. And we sent him 2 bits and he picked that one, and he was like, great, this one's in. And we tweaked it a little bit just to like clean it up a little bit, and we pretty much just did it almost directly as is.
The
show.
I was very anxious about it, much more so than Drew was about, cause we had punched it up a little bit, and we had gone to, there's this show at UCB called, Not Too Shabby.
Not Too Shabby.
Which is, it's pretty much like an open mic sketch, sort of sketch or characters. And we were like, we got to put it up in front of an audience. So we put it up in front of the audience.
Again, this wasn't the first time. We've done it live, and it went very well.
And it went, it had killed before, but I did not take into account that like we were doing an open mic sketch show in front of a bunch of fucking, you know, grizzled sketch comedians. And it didn't go well. It didn't go well.
It did not.
And I walked off that stage being like, we're fucked. We're absolutely fucked. But then when we did it in front of the you know, regular audience of people in the CISO Don't You Know show, it went great. It went really great.
So can you guys walk me through a little bit of how you approach writing a sketch from the beginning, or maybe even what you're thinking about, what you're aiming for as you go?
I don't know if this is new. This is probably a common technique, but I like to think of like, okay, without thinking of what do I think is funny, I try to think of what would be something just so insane to see live. And so that's wild or never been done, or silly with no context, and then try to then reverse engineer it from there and go like, okay, well, how could we ever do that? What would make sense for that to happen? And then basically kind of write the idea backwards. Like, for example, in the show we're starting to write right now, like, I think it'd be like something would be insane is like, I want an audience member to give me $20. Like, how would that ever happen? And then it's like, oh, okay, well, how could I go backwards and make that happen? And like, well, how can we justify that, set that up, and make it so when that does happen, like, we planted that seed before to build up to that idea. So that's kind of the way I've started trying to pitch things.
It's like, interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I think I'm the exact opposite in terms of like my thought process. I always start, I think, from context first. Like, what's an interesting context? What's an interesting sort of like situation? And then figure out what I think is funny about that, which is interesting. I didn't realize you go backwards.
Well, I think that's something I've just recently started to
do.
Like, that kind of like, well, what's truthful in that context?
Yeah.
How can we exaggerate that thing that we all know? I think that's how we wrote, that's how we started when we wrote Two Bed, One Bath based on that idea.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And we came up with like 60 topics that we relate to and find a take on. And then we're like, all right, well, what are our 10 favorite? For a live show, it'd be like, well, what would be so wild to do live that would stand out?
Yeah.
And without not being like shock value, not like, oh, how can I show my dick to an audience?
But so regardless of if you have the ending in mind or you just have the context in mind or something happened in real life, now you have an idea. Mm-hmm. So what are the next steps that you typically take when starting a sketch out?
I don't think there's one formula for everything, but there is like sort of ways that we communicate with each other, like through our ideas. Like for one example, one thing that we do now is like if we're pitching each other sketch ideas, or we've written, you know, a rough draft of a sketch or whatever, just to try to capture the tone, we'll find like a song that sort of feels like the tone of that sketch so that the other person can understand like what tone they're watching, right?
That's I learned that from Heather Campbell.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's a Heather Campbell trick that she taught me.
Smart.
Yeah. So it's like, no, it's really fast. Like, or we write a montage scene and be like, oh, so it feels like a Hall & Oates song, like that kind of fast. Don't you know? No, it's like a speed death metal song. It's like, oh, okay, that's the tone we're going for here. Because so many times you can have an idea in your head and be like, oh, I'm not communicating this properly, or like, it's funny for this reason, and like your own interpretations or attachments to the idea get in the way. And the song trick helps a lot to be like, oh, this is the feeling of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Which helps.
And so most of the time you're pitching ideas or rough drafts. Is there ever a fear that's like sort of judge it once it's finished, not when it's in its infancy?
No, I don't think so. Not with us.
Yeah.
Something we do that I think we're good at, that I've tried to do with other people that does not work, is we'll have an idea or a general outline of an idea, and we'll get to like a moment, and we will be like, all right, well, we know what this moment has to be. We'll figure it out later. Write a bad version of it, a placeholder, and move on, and then get to something else. And so we'll have a bunch of things in a sketch. We'll be like, we know these aren't it.
Right.
But we'll figure it out later. It's more important to get everything down and then go back and finesse.
Agreed. Yeah. Let's keep moving forward. Let's get like the bigger picture sort of stuff. And we can, you know, I feel like punching something up, that's something you can always do, you know, but it's easier to get like, oh, what's the template of this? What's the big picture of this joke?
I remember being in a Besser sketch class and him saying it's more important to write 5 sketches in 5 hours than to spend 5 hours on one sketch in a day. I'm paraphrasing that. I'm whatever the numbers
are. No, that's a direct quote. We're going to fact check it.
Basically, he was like, it's better to constantly be creating material than to like be so focused on that one thing, because you can always go back and make it better, and you can always polish it.
Yeah.
And people forget that editing is writing too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And perfectionism, man, can be a real like hindrance in the process, I feel like, especially when you're like just developing a concept, you know, you're trying to be perfect in that first edition of that. I feel like, I don't know, or at least for me, that just doesn't work.
One of my teachers phrased that as, don't be paralyzed by your integrity. And it stuck with me, and I really like that.
That's really great.
Because it's a common theme that we talk about on this show, and it relates to that. I don't know if you're familiar with that great Ira Glass quote.
I love that Ira Glass
quote.
One where he talks about when you're, I'm assuming it's the one where
you're curious to see if you know.
It takes years for your skill level to get to your taste.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the quote I thought. I was going to guess the quote. Hello, I am Ira Glass.
Welcome to this American life.
Yeah.
Act one. No, I think that's so true. And just
what was it? I was too busy thinking my stupid joke.
the idea of like any sort of like creative thing that you get into, when you first get into it, it's because you have great taste, but your skill level is not on the same level as your taste.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So like if you are into comedy, it's because you probably love Louis C.K., but in terms of your skill level, you're not as good as Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And so the idea is to somehow get your taste and your skill level on the same level.
And then not to be, and the only way to get your skill level to is to do work.
Repetition.
And so don't be paralyzed by wanting it to be perfect, because it can't be. It's impossible for it to be when you're starting out, especially.
Yeah.
Tom Lennon and Ben Grant's book, How to Write Movies for Fun and Profit, but Fun is crossed out. Mm-hmm. It's such a good book, and they talk about that a lot. And I remember one of my favorite parts of that book is there's a moment where it's like, saying how like it'll take time. They're like, write a movie, go off and write a movie, and then wait 5 years, and then come back to this book. And it's like you have to have that 5 year gap in there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the Don Draper quote: like think about it really, really hard, and then stop. And then let the answer come to you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say his famous quote, hello, I am Don Draper. Welcome to Mad Men.
Welcome to
Act
Mad
one.
Men.
Yeah.
Just completely breaks the fourth. Then I've seen one episode of that show.
What? Are you really?
Yeah, I've just seen the pilot. I'm not avoiding, I liked it. I got a lot of shows in the queue, man.
Oh, I'm right there with you. That just seems like one that's, I mean, I've never seen Breaking Bad, so I'm guessing.
Oh,
see, that's, yeah. So you can't talk.
Gross.
That's a brilliant show.
So you have this idea, you write some early drafts. Now for you, I'm sure there's different ways that it's done for a lot of people. But if you're writing for a show that you're putting on, mm-hmm. is the first time it's performed in front of an audience the night of, or do you try to get it out there?
No.
We're pretty diligent about editing.
Yeah.
So what we did for our live shows is we would do it live at around town and record it. Just the audio, not the video. And just kind of gauge where the audience reacted and where they didn't.
Yeah.
And we would edit based off of that.
We're gonna be your flight attendants on our little sky trip today.
That's right. We're gonna play a little game called Keep Your Bags in Your Overhead Compartment. And if you smoke on the plane, you're out of here.
If you can't tell by now, folks, we love our job.
Sure do. Sure do. Love it more than free upgrades to first class.
Oh, well, almost as much. Delta!
It's pretty important for me to, going into a live show, to feel confident about the material and feel like we did everything we could to improve it. Like, I really like to put it up in front of an audience. Like I remember we did this one sketch when we were first that we both thought we liked, and we put it up in front of an audience, I think a couple of times. You know what? The audience, after doing it twice, they let us know, hey, we don't like this very much.
Yeah. And we were like, hey, I'm not going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, no.
I'd rather be like, okay, great. This is out. We cut it.
Yeah. Yeah. So we cut it and we never did it again. And the audience was correct. And we found a better sketch, you know? So I think trying it in front of an audience first is something I like to do.
Going off of that, I'm just curious, how much is there, if at all, is there a wrestle between creating something for the audience and creating something that you think is good, even if it doesn't get as big of a laugh as this other thing that may be more of a crowd favorite or crowd pleasing?
Well, we're definitely like, right, using the audience reaction as a editing tool, I think is good, but it's definitely not 100%. Like, it's not like, well, what's popular? It's not writing for popular or votes or clicks or selling out or any, whatever you want to call it. I think it's for us, or I'll speak for myself. It's a matter of, we want to put up something that's in our voice.
Mm.
And it took us a while to define what that was. And I think it's kind of that live, ambitious, hard to perform thing. We're never going to have a sketch that's two of us sitting in a chair talking.
Yeah.
Like, we found that, oh, we like that heavy, committed, choreographed, theatrical kind of live show.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that stuff that we like, how did it go? And using that in tandem with what we want to do.
Like, even with our CISO sketch that we did, Drew and I, we spent a lot of time like on this one line that I was feeling like, the line needed to be a little bit more specific as to what the rules are of this, right? Of like, of this sketch, to let the audience know, this is what this character wants and why. And we probably spent, like, just on this one line, I feel like half an hour going back and forth trying to figure out.
Yeah.
And it's tedious, but in the end, we both finally got it. And we were like, oh, fuck, it is this. This is what it is.
Yeah. I don't remember. You wanted A, I wanted B, but we both wanted it to land on C.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it took us... I think it was actually much more than a half hour.
It maybe was,
honestly,
yeah.
Of us going over this one line of dialogue. And everything else in the sketch was, we had agreed, was set.
Yeah.
Was one line. And we finally landed on, like, trying to, like, all right, well, what are we trying to show? What are you trying to show? We both want to get to that. And we find, not a settled on a compromise, but like, oh, unearthed something more valuable.
Thanks so much for doing the show. Drew, if people wanted to know more about what you're doing, where can they find you online?
You can check me out on Twitter at Defonso Marks, DiFonzoMarks. And also...
It sounds like a weird currency. Like,
yeah.
I've got you 10,000 Defonso Marks.
Yeah, it does. And you can also check out DrewDefonzoMarks.com. For all of our sketches and everything.
Yeah.
And you, James?
I'm on Twitter at jmazz1111, J-M-A-Z-Z 1111.
Is there any significance to the numbers?
When I was in high school, for some reason on the weekend, I would wake up at 1111 every, my internal clock was that. So I just liked that number.
Is that really the answer?
That is really the answer. Yeah.
And then James and I are working on a new project. It's a podcast and live show
called I'm Too Effing High, where I get comedians high on marijuana and then make them do funny things. It's super fun. Got some really fun guests line up.
And its first episode is going to be October 4th.
Yeah.
So search for I'm Too Effing High wherever you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe. There's a little teaser thing up there. Drew and I are working on something too, but can't really talk about it yet. Anyways, you guys, where can people see you?
You can see some of Drew and I's work on season 2 of UCB.
Yeah, CISO.com, UCB show, season 2.
Yeah.
And until then, you can see them live at various places around LA and at UCB and stuff like that.
Every Thursday at 11 p.m., I do the text message show at UCB.
And every Tuesday at 10:30, I do Outside Dog Gets One Star, where we do improv off of one-star reviews.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Guys. This is great.
Cheers.
And thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this week. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CISO Show. That's S-E-E-S-O Show. Subscribe, download, like, and review us on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast listening device, program, application is. Hope you have a great week. Until next time.